Welcome to Running, Alaska Public Media's candidate forum here on KSKA 91.1 FM and 360 North. I'm Zachariah Hughes, city reporter here in Anchorage. Elections are on April 4th, which, if you don't have a calendar handy, is next Tuesday. I'm here in our studio talking with the candidates running to represent District 5's seat I, which covers East Anchorage, including neighborhoods like Russian Jack, Muldoon, and Scenic Foothills. The seat's currently held by incumbent Pete Peterson, who's here with me, along with his challenger, Don Jones. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you, Zach.
We're going to jump right into some questions about city politics, but first, each candidate will have 30 seconds to introduce themselves in an opening statement, starting alphabetically with you, Mr. Jones.
Well, thank you, Zach. I'm a 27-year retired military guy. Came to Alaska in 98, absolutely fell in love with it. In 99, I fell in love with my wife, an Alaskan, and the rest is history, as they say. We were cinched in. Just looked at some of the challenges we had in the city this year, you know, with the snow removal, with crime issues, and I thought I would throw my hat in the ring and offer some solutions for the people over on East Anchorage.
Great. Thank you very much. And Mr. Peterson.
Well, thanks, Zach. I'm Pete Peterson. I'm just finishing my first term on the Anchorage Assembly, representing Northeast Anchorage and Muldoon. I previously served two terms in the Alaska State House from 2009 to 2013. I've been working to improve things in East Anchorage for the last 8 years. I'd like to continue to improve public safety by rebuilding our police force. And also, Anchorage set a record for 911 calls last year. So we need to add two more ambulances to our fleet to keep our emergency response times down as low as they can possibly be.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen, keeping it 30 seconds on the dot for both of you. We're going to it's my chance to ask you each a couple of questions, and you'll have 45 seconds to respond. In the interest of fairness, we'll rotate back and forth over who answers first. And again, alphabetically, Mr. Jones, the first question is to you. With state and federal funds retreating for the foreseeable future, I am curious what proposals you have for funding the municipality. And if cuts, then specify from where. If it's new revenue sources that you're thinking about pursuing, what are they?
Well, Zach, I appreciate that question because that's on the mind of a lot of Alaskans here. And I think we have to define what are needs and what are wants. And basically in the city, our needs are infrastructure. Those are our roads, ports, and airports. It's how we get things in and how we get around. Public safety, which are police and fire, and education. Those are the needs of a city, and that's what the taxpayers pay their tax dollars for. Everything after that is kind of a want, and we need to sit down and have a discussion as taxpayers on what wants we want to cover at that point. So that's kind of how I break it up and how I approach the budget.
Well, those sound like priorities, but I didn't hear any specifics about either, you know, specific places to begin or new sources.
New sources in the sense of what, new funding, or is that what you're getting at, or new?
Anything, if it's growing to kind of make up to pay for some of those capital improvements.
Well, I think it's about priorities, Zach, and the priority is we have the money in the budget. Our priorities have to focus on that infrastructure, on paying for our roads and stuff and infrastructure, and we have to focus on paying for police and fire. That's what we come to. That's where we pay for our public safety, and then education is followed by that. After that point, then we've got to address what's left if we have funding for that.
Mr. Peterson, it's the same question to you about specific proposals for the budget.
Well, you know, we've discussed sales tax in the past, and Mr. Evans from South Anchorage and the mayor and the administration had both introduced ordinances. One was a 4% sales tax, and the other was a 2%. They're in the process of trying to combine the best parts of both of those ordinances to see if we can come up with something that the voters might like. Myself, I don't know if a sales tax is the way to go. I do believe we need to prioritize our spending, and we may have to look at some cuts because I expect that the state legislature is going to continue to be sending us additional bills to pay.
Okay. Moving on to a different topic, Mr. Peterson, what kinds of solutions to homelessness in Anchorage do you think the Assembly and City ought to be pursuing?
Well, the housing first model that we've seen that has worked in other jurisdictions around the country is something that we started on 2 years ago. We have found housing for 180 people who were homeless when we started. And according to our last count, we have about 227 that are still homeless. So we're headed in the right direction, but we still have a ways to go. And I think if we just keep working with the Housing First model, we can eventually get the number of homeless on the street greatly reduced.
Okay, Mr. Jones, the same question to you.
Well, Zach, I look at the homeless issue as, you know, a multi-layered problem. I mean, it's more than just housing. We have a lot of mental health issues, a lot of drug issues that are related to that as to why people are out on there. Coming from the military side, my concern is we have a lot of veterans that are coming back and getting out of the military, dealing with TBI, dealing with PTSD, and we may see our homeless numbers increase in that if we don't address those issues. We saw the cost to the taxpayer where we modified a hotel downtown, about 20 beds downtown, and that was at about $350,000 per homeless person to do that. So I don't think that kind of cost really addresses what's needed.
Okay. You brought this up in your last answer,
yes,
Mr. Jones, but I'm curious what infrastructure or capital projects specifically you see as the most important for the municipality to pursue and find funding for?
Right. I come at it from the standpoint of I think the funding is there. We have to prioritize what we are going to spend that on. And that does come back into our capital projects such as infrastructure and stuff, you know, roads, ports, as well as our police and fire, and then education. You do those three things first. Those are the needs of a city. Afterwards, we address other capital projects from a standpoint of a want, and what do the taxpayers want to prioritize at that point.
But at this point in time, are there any specific road or infrastructure projects that you see as being necessary?
Well, certainly. For example, I will give you the plow out of our cities here in Anchorage. We're at 84 hours, sorry. It's up 72 hours from the previous time to plow out our streets. Whereas we can look at an example or a role model like Eagle River and Chugiak, which plow out in 17 hours. I think looking at good examples like that and then maybe applying those lessons learned to Anchorage may benefit the citizens of Anchorage, certainly get the snow off the roads where kids are not walking down single lane wide roads or standing in the roads waiting on our bus stops.
And Mr. Peterson, I'm just going to re-ask the question, what infrastructure and capital projects do you see as the most important for the Assembly to pursue?
Well, I think the number one priority, and it is number one on the capital improvements list for the city, is our port. You know, we had an earthquake, a 6.1 or so, a little over a year ago, and that definitely did some damage to our port. If you've taken a tour down there, you can see the rust, and we're just afraid that the next time we get a good shaker, our port might be unusable. And so that has got to be our top priority, and that is the top priority we're asking funding from the state government for as well.
And so this next question is for you. What's your definition of public safety, and what plans do you have to move the city more in that direction if reelected?
Well, obviously, public safety has got to be a top priority, and it takes a commitment. We had two police academies last year. We have one ongoing now and another one that's scheduled for June 19th. And when I first started on the Assembly in 2014, the number of officers we had was trending down to where it reached a low of 327. And since that time, we've added additional officers to our force. And that has allowed our police chief to come up with a three-point plan to reduce public safety, to increase public safety in Anchorage this year. He wants to refocus the CAP team and the vice squad on street-level drugs and drug distribution, redeploy our resources to high-crime areas, and expand the foot patrol.
Those are excellent and very clear policy proposals, but the first part of my question I'm just going to circle back to. What's your definition of public safety, sir?
Well, if people don't feel safe in their homes, we have a problem with public safety. And so with gunshots going off in neighborhoods and response times from the police being slower than what we would like, we definitely have got some improvements to make.
Okay. And so, Mr. Jones, the same question to you.
Well, definition of public safety is definitely feeling safe in our community, being able to shop where we can shop and walk out to our cars and not be assaulted or have gunshots fired outside our homes where bullets are lodged in the house. I met one gentleman who actually has moved his children to the back part of the house because they're fearful that the bullets, the gunfire outside the house, will enter the house through the wall. So these added extra walls, basically moving them to the rear to try and keep them safe. That's, you know, concerning, obviously, and the crime issue. He would not say that we are publicly safe at this time.
Okay. It's your opportunity to ask questions of one another. So ask away. It's a 45-second response from your challenger, the gentleman sitting next to you, and then a 45-second rebuttal. And Mr. Jones, we'll start with your question.
Okay. Pete, I noticed in 2012, you said the voters approved an initiative that allows the assembly to lower the property taxes for the average homeowner by hundreds of dollars each year. In order to provide this tax cut, you said the assembly must submit it to the voters for approval. One of your first acts on the assembly would be to introduce that legislation to let us vote on the property tax. It's now 2017, and I just wonder when that will occur so that we can vote on that.
Well, during the campaign in 2012, it looked like we really, really needed to do that. But when I was elected and was presented with the budget that we had, there wasn't enough room to make the cuts to reduce property taxes. And so to put it on the ballot to increase the exemption from $20,000 to $50,000 or larger amounts than that, depending on who you talk to, would put us in a situation where we would have to make huge cuts. And I just didn't have enough support from my other colleagues to get enough votes to make that happen.
Okay, Mr. Jones, your rebuttal.
Well, I think that it is certainly an option, because I think when we come back to prioritizing our spending, you know, what we are looking at, it comes back to the needs of the city versus the wants. And coming back to those infrastructure, roads and infrastructure pieces, the public safety, the paying for our fire and police and paying for our schools afterwards, I think there's room in there to consider that. And I'm just, you know, again, it comes back to the taxpayer as to what they want. This was talked about in 2012. It was proposed again in 2014. And I just was waiting for the assembly to step forward, as Mr. Peterson said he would do, when it was one of the first things he would consider. So, okay.
Okay. And Mr. Peterson, it's your opportunity to ask a question of Mr. Jones.
Okay. Thank you. My business experience gives me a strong sense of fiscal responsibility. And when I was in the state legislature, I had the courage to be one of only two legislators to vote against wasteful budget spending. And, you know, this wasteful spending led to our fiscal crisis we have in the state right now. So do you agree that we need my sense of fiscal restraint on the assembly?
Well, I haven't seen that degree of fiscal restraint on the assembly by your votes. And I'll give you a good example. We just dropped up, I think it was around $840,000 for 30 supervisors to give them pay increases so that they were at or above the line workers there on the police and fire. That $840,000, I think, could have come back to the folks to be used in plows and stuff, because in plowing the roads, because as soon as that $840,000 was approved and spent, the mayor turned around and said we had to choose between police or plows because we didn't have enough money to do both. So I don't see that fiscal responsibility as quite the same way.
Okay, there's time for a rebuttal. I think that's a little bit of a distortion and an unfair characterization of the chronology, but Mr. Peterson, I do want to give you the chance to issue a rebuttal.
We didn't have, we really didn't have a choice. The $850,000 that we spent was, we really didn't have a choice to do it. And that's all I can think of right now. Sorry.
Okay. We have time for a couple more questions from me, and I'll try to make them a little bit more district specific. So, Mr. Peterson, okay, we will start with you. I am curious how the housing stock is in your neighborhood or the neighborhoods that you would represent, and what policies on building, housing, and development you'd like to pursue if reelected.
Well, we've had several new projects that have been completed in East Anchorage within the last year. And Alaska Housing is working on some additional projects in East Anchorage. And there's also a project that's in the works for a senior housing project for those over the age of 55. But we do have a density of population in East Anchorage. We've, according to the 2020 plan, East Anchorage is designated to have a more dense population. And so in areas where we still have buildable land, I expect that we're going to be having multifamily type projects be constructed.
Okay, Mr. Jones, question to you on housing.
Yes, I think in looking at the housing situation the way it is, we've got to look at owners' regulations or owners' ordinances passed by the city, like Title 21, that by reducing that will allow builders to build more affordable housing for our folks here in East Anchorage, as well as getting it on the market quicker.
Okay. We have time for just one question. Thank you for your concise answers this time around. I am curious, a number of community councils in East Anchorage, in your district, have expressed concerns over homeless campers in area parks. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to hear from you, Mr. Jones. What are your proposals for tackling that specific issue?
Well, I think, again, looking at the homeless problem, if we can turn around our priorities on our spending here in the city and can beef up the economy, improving the economy, which it will do if we get our spending within control, those homeless camps and stuff can be addressed at that time. Again, it comes down to needs and wants. We have to take care of those needs first and then focus on the issues of, you know, why are those homeless camps there? Are those people that are homeless, a lot of them in many situations have mental health issues that have to be addressed. Some have drug issues that have to be addressed. And I don't think those are being addressed at this time.
Mr. Peterson, campers in East Anchorage Parks.
Well, I've actually been pushing to try to reinstate the Park Rangers program here in Anchorage. This program worked, for 15 or 20 years until it was cut out of the budget. And the Rangers would be assigned to a certain number of parks, and they would patrol those parks over and over again, day after day, so they would get used to recognizing the people who use those parks regularly. So if someone knew was there, that they would grab their attention, and they'd be more likely to follow that person to make sure they didn't do anything breaking the law in any way.
We have just about run out of time. I want to make sure that you each have the opportunity for closing statements, and Mr. Jones, we'll go back to you.
Well, thank you, Zach. I appreciate this opportunity. And like I said, coming to it from a challenges that we've seen in the city and coming to it to provide solutions is what I did in the military for 27 years. Taking a look at the issues, putting the right people around the table, developing that plan and implementing it, I think is what people of East Anchorage want to see happen. And they want to see it happen in a fiscally responsible way.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Peterson.
Well, thank you. I've been working for years to try to make our streets safer. My first term on the assembly, I've helped put 80 additional police officers on our streets. The increase in officers allows the police department to expand our community policing, which is a proactive way to prevent crime. If anyone would like to have additional information about my campaign, they can go to my website, petepeterson.org, and I'm a Peterson with all E's. I would appreciate your vote on April 4th. Thank you.
We'll have to leave it there. I've been joined by Don Jones and incumbent Pete Peterson, both of whom are hoping to represent East Anchorage. And that concludes Alaska Public Media's running for these upcoming elections on April 4th. Thank you to all the candidates who made time to come in and talk about the issues that matter most. If you missed a segment or want to help inform a friend before Election Day, we'll have all the district races we've covered on our website, alaskapublic.org. Again, municipal elections are April 4th, although early voting is open right now. I'm Zachariah Hughes, and thanks for joining me.